Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports joining us at 8:30. Looking forward to talking all things NFL with him. And then at 9 o'clock, Tennessee men's basketball coach Rick Barnes will join us here on the program. A big win for the Vols last night against St. Joseph's. They got a great team in Knoxville. That basketball team is fun to watch. So looking forward to that conversation with Rick Barnes. But, Joe, one Vols football – one football program right now in Tennessee not having a lot of fun. That is Tennessee. And we talked about it to open the show. No bowl game now for Tennessee. It came out yesterday that Jeremy Pruitt, other coaches, and some players had tested positive for COVID. They were supposed to play in the Liberty Bowl against West Virginia. That's now not going to happen. Army will be in the game now against West Virginia at 9-2, which is probably how it should have been to begin with. But that gets Tennessee fans going. And, Joe, you know, Vol Twitter, it's a great place. It's a very special place, near and dear to our hearts, but it's always got some conspiracy theories kind of floating around there. And one of those is, all right, Tennessee's not really dealing with COVID right now. They just don't want to play in this bowl game and have a chance to get annihilated by West Virginia and finish 3-8 on what has already been a disaster of a season so far. And another one is, you know, we talked about the NCAA investigation that's out there with the Vols. There's not really an investigation. It's just it's an attempt to get Jeremy Pruitt out the door. What do you make of all Twitter, their conspiracy theories, and these latest that have been tossed out there?
Well, I don't know that it's Vol Twitter talking about the, you know, the COVID. I mean, it might be more like Auburn Twitter, you know. but you know, it's the reaction. I mean, and look, like Vol Twitter probably reacts to this when other teams cancel. You know, it's like you go back to like the Vanderbilt Georgia thing.
Yeah,
they were down to like 39 players, 4 offensive linemen. But you know, let's have some, especially when you see like media people like go the hot take route of just trying to get out of the game. Like, come on, man! Like, you think they're making up their COVID test? I mean, Tennessee put out a statement about Jeremy Pruitt testing positive for COVID. Like, this is made up. Like, Jeremy Pruitt's going to be part of a ruse where he didn't actually test positive for COVID. They didn't have all these other positive tests. They had a bunch of positive tests. He tested positive. This is a real thing. So I guess it's kind of predictable that we get into this. You know, it goes back to like Dabo, you know, with Florida State, or, you know, even some of the stuff about Michigan with Ohio State coming.
Yeah.
People are going to say, oh, sure you do. But I mean, like, seriously, like they put out a statement that Jeremy Pruitt tested positive. Like, they're not making it up. So, yeah, that one is an easy one to brush aside. It's just, come on. Like, this is a real thing. Let's please take this seriously. And that's, you know, that's in a lot of different fronts. But yeah, the investigation thing is interesting. Like, I guess it's more, and look, I had this thought initially, and I still have the thought of how exactly and why exactly did this become a story?
Right.
Now, first of all, our friend Trey Wallace gets credit for breaking it and for doing a lot of work on it. Here's an interesting thing with all that. Another friend of the show, Wes Rucker, I saw this and I almost got involved on Twitter and I was like, nah, I'm just not going to get into it. But
that's a big step for you, like, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it wasn't my fight, you know, and frankly, right. I don't think either side's wrong, but it's like it's a misconception. Like, the word has a stigma to it. So, you know, so Wes Rucker tweets, you know, basically, and I agree in general with this tweet, to paraphrase, I don't have it in front of me, Tennessee's like a toxic place. You know, if you're going to keep leaking stuff to the media about things like this, that's part of being toxic. Now, some people took that as like sour grapes because Trey Wallace broke the story.
Right.
And like, it wasn't a leak, it was reported. But look, I mean, that is a leak. I mean, if you get a source to tell you about the investigation, or sources to tell you what's going on, I mean, maybe that word you know, sounds has a problem for people, but that's what it is. I mean, you're getting information. There's a leak in the internally where people are giving a reporter information. It's not any knock on the reporter. He did a great job. That's what his job is. He did the job. And I don't think Wes was trying to rip Traer at all or anything like that. I think he was just pointing out that if internally these things come out, you know, then it does look like someone has an agenda.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, I buy the, like, I'm very interested in who all, you know, who all thinks what and how it all came about. But look, this is not like, and this is, and I can say this after a lot of conversations with different people, this is a real thing. So for anybody who thinks that this is just sort of a, you know, like a ruse to try to, like, you know, try to whatever, get Jeremy Pruitt in trouble, whatever. I mean, this is a real investigation. I don't know where it's going. You know, I mean, you hear things and, you know, we'll see. There's a lot of reporting to be done on this and a lot of people are going to be working on it, but this is real. And this is potentially significant. So whether it's, you know, the obvious thing you think about is, well, if this is something where it's big trouble, could Jeremy Pruitt be fired with cause?
Right.
And certainly, that's got to be considered here. But also, you know, this is not, like, from what I can gather, just like fabricating some situation to attack him. I mean, there's some real stuff here. And, you know, as look, we asked Pruitt, I asked him, two other people asked him about Eric Gray not playing Saturday, and David Ubben has followed that up that with a report, you know, that Eric Gray and Brian Maurer were out because of this investigation. So long way to go on that. Point being, though, for me, like, look, this is not just smoke and mirrors here. There's some substance to this.
Right, and Trey Wallace, I think, came out and said, you know, he's been working on this report for more than a month. So this is not something that, you know, it's just brand new to Trey Wallace. But it is interesting because we talked about, you know, Fulmer coming out publicly and basically in his statement supporting Jeremy Pruitt and reading to me like Jeremy Pruitt was going to be back next year. But, Joe, I don't think it's complicated to think about probably not everybody in that athletic department and that athletic that university feeling the same way. Like, I'm sure there are a lot of people that are upset about what they've seen on the field. Maybe they're upset with some personal experiences they've had with Jeremy Pruitt. And you look at the program right now, and if you're a Tennessee fan, I mean, right now, I mean, what do you think the fan base opinion is on Jeremy Pruitt? Like, how many are out? I would say, if I had to guess, I don't know, 65, 70% of people would probably say, yeah, I don't think he's the guy. So I would imagine that some people in that athletic department probably feel the same way. And that does bring up a valid question of, all right, if Trey Wallace is getting this information from somewhere, which we know Trey Wallace, we know he does a great job, he's done a fine job in this, where is the information coming from and who is deciding to leak it at this point? I think that's a fair question that's brought up by Wes, and I didn't take it whatsoever as a shot at Trey Wallace.
Right. Well, a lot of people, and I saw Trey said something like, well, it's not a leak, it's my reporting. It's like, well, look, I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, yes, good job. I mean, I guess that word just bothers some people, but a lot of his coworkers were all over Wes, like, you know, someday you'll break a story or whatever. It's like, I don't think Wes was attacking the messenger here. I mean, he's right. I mean, and you're right. Like, you someone has to be willing to say, yeah, you can use this information. Don't name me, but use it. And it's good information. And again, there's a long way to go on this, but that is a valid question. Now, the Fulmer statement, if you want to, I mean, since we're talking conspiracies and you know, intentions and how things look, when that statement came out, one thing I thought of is, you know who most people who are having this conspiracy theory are thinking about, right? They're thinking about Fulmer, like, okay, well, if we can fire him with cause, you know, I can go get Hugh Freeze or whatever. So Fulmer, that statement to me also distances Fulmer from that idea, or at least, you know, publicly does. You know, he's throwing his support behind Pruitt in a statement, you know, I could see him thinking, well, if anybody thinks that I am the one trying to undermine Jeremy Pruitt from within, and by the way, I don't think it is Philip Fulmer. know, here's a statement that can shut that up. I mean, look, he can say whatever he wants. If this investigation goes a certain way, it could be out of his hands anyway.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it absolutely could, and we don't know what that investigation is going to yield. I know a lot of Tennessee fans, since this report has come out on Saturday, they talked about the firing with cause part of it and getting out from the buyout and all that stuff. Like, look, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't even know what it would take for that to be the case and for that to be possible here. But if you're Tennessee and you're a fan, yeah, you might want Pruitt out. You also don't want your team, like, heavily under investigation and heavily under NCAA trouble potentially as well.
Right.
So, I mean, I hear what people are saying on Pruitt and talking about firing with cause, but if it's that bad, it's probably not great news for your football program either.
That's exactly right. Like, if it's to the point where firing with cause is on the table, then it probably also means that sanctions are coming. So, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Which, you know, not having a, you know, postseason ban for Tennessee football, that's a heavy penalty nowadays, Joe. Got to worry about that postseason a lot.
Yeah, well, maybe they can impose a ban right now on this year, just like Coach O.
Yeah, could this be like the LSU self-imposed bowl penalty?
Really, what they should have done, instead of releasing about Pruitt's COVID-19 positive test, they should just say, you know, we're just going to self-impose a ban.
A
the report
ban.
Came out during the game. Yeah. We were going to do this anyway. This is we need to punish ourselves. I mean, we've committed some serious violations here, so we're going to just get out ahead of it right now and keep our 3-win team out of a bowl game for the good of everybody else.
As badly as we want to be in the Liberty Bowl.
Yes, which, poor Liberty Bowl. They've been trying to get Tennessee for a long time. They just can't do it, Joe. Feel bad for them.
It'll happen. They'll be in that general pool, I think, for a while here.
One day, Tennessee will get to the Liberty Bowl. It was amazing, and I know, like, Trey Wallace didn't plan it this way, but just from a Tennessee perspective, like, you're in that game against A&M. You drive down the field. I thought it was probably like the best looking drive of the entire year. I mean, they were surgical on that drive. They take a 7-0 lead, and literally 30 seconds after they take the 7-0 lead, this report comes out from Trey Wallace. It could not have been more Tennessee. It really could.
Well, there's another conspiracy. So Trey was like, okay, I'm going to wait to the most positive possible moment on the field. Then I'm hitting the button.
I hit send immediately when he's in the end zone.
Can't let these people enjoy anything.
Diabolical.
Anything. You can enjoy nothing this year
that's right.
This decade. Yes, that's been how it's gone for Tennessee football. When we come back, if you're a Tennessee fan, are you disappointed that the bowl game no longer on the table? Would you have liked to see this team play one more game, get these practices in, looking ahead to next year? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you through this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, we talked a lot about Jeremy Pruitt and this Tennessee football program in the last segment. We'll not be playing in the bowl game against West Virginia. Do you think Tennessee fans are upset about that when you factor in everything involved? Number one, there's not a lot of games that you get to watch Tennessee play every year anyway. This would have been just the 11th game. There's not a lot of practice available to them if you don't get in a bowl game. And this Tennessee team needs all the practice that they can get looking ahead to next season. Do you think Tennessee fans are upset that this bowl game in the Liberty Bowl is not taking place? Or do you think they've seen enough at this point that they're just ready to flush this season down the toilet and move ahead to next year?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I feel like you said, you don't have many chances. I mean, in the year 2020, this was going to be number 11. So out of 365 days, you know, 355 of them, no game for your football team. So whenever you have a chance to watch your football team, you'd think you'd want to, but I just feel like this is such a frustrating football team that there's probably some Vols fans who are like, yeah, you know what, that's fine. Now, there's also the whole Pruitt aspect of it. You could look at that both ways. What if they had a good performance and a win? Does that strengthen him? Does that make you angry? Or what if they got blown off the field? Does that do what you hope is done? And, of course, again, I don't know – what percentage of Vols fans are out on Jeremy Pruitt? I would suspect it's more than half. It's always tough. I think the people who are for him at this point are probably more for, you can't just keep firing and hiring and firing and hiring. every few years.
And they're also probably not very loud about it at this point either.
That's right. I mean, and that's where it gets hard to read things based on, you know, social media. But I mean, I would think there'd probably be more Vols fans would have said, okay, I'll take a bowl game and watch some of these guys that still like watch Trey Smith play again, you know, one more time, get another chance to watch Henry To'o play. I mean, of course I'm not saying he's done, but you know, like some of these players are still fun to watch. But also like the whole product has been obviously just a weekly frustration here.
Let me ask you this. And this is an honest question that I have, because I think there's an easy answer to it, but then I think about it a little bit more, and I just don't know. And that's with Jeremy Pruitt. Like, do you think Jeremy Pruitt is upset that they're not playing in this bowl game? And I ask that because of this. I mean, it's easy to look at it and say, well, of course he is. He wants to play another game. He wants the practices. He wants to get in as much work as he can with his team leading into next year. But there's also a chance, if they were to have played this game, that you're going up against West Virginia, and maybe you just get blown off the field in that game. You lose by 17 to 20 points, and then all of a sudden it's even more negative around you and around your football program, and maybe even more uncertainty with your job. How do you think Jeremy Pruitt feels about not being able to play in this bowl game?
That's a good question. I mean, I guess if he feels confident that, like, the Philip Fulmer statement, you know, is a real, really means something about next year, if he's not worried that this investigation, you know, I mean, the other day he was asked about it and was like, yeah, you got compliance stuff. I mean, he shrugged it aside. If he feels good about those things, then I would guess he's upset, because like you said, this team needs practice. You need every rep you can get for these guys, especially the young players. I mean, that's what bowl practices are a lot for teams, is it's the twos and threes. The younger guys who aren't getting on the field a lot get a chance to run the actual offense and the actual defense. And there's a lot of coaches find a lot of value in that. So if Jeremy Pruitt feels secure about 2021, then I would guess, yeah, he would much prefer to play this game. If I also can see him being exhausted by everything. I mean, look, this whole program, and not just Tennessee, but around college football, you're talking about these kids going back to June, testing constantly, isolate yourselves. You know, don't put yourselves at risk. You're not having a normal year. You're gonna play in front of half empty stadiums, and you're not gonna have your normal social life. And it's just this long grind. And I think the idea that, you know what, just go home, be with your family, and just get away, probably is really appealing to a lot of people. And I mean, we've seen, like the SEC, I mean, everybody's basically playing a bowl game, but a lot of these other leagues, a lot of teams have opted out of bowl games for that reason, I think, you know. So I don't know from the Pruitt perspective. Again, I'm sure that there's some level of, oh, let's just get away and just, you know, get some sleep, right, and just move forward. But as a coach, if you're a coach coming back next year, then you every year you want bowl practices, and there's a cumulative effect of having them and not having them in terms of player development.
Yeah, there is, and it's just interesting to kind of look at it. Like, if this game would have remained on schedule, I just wonder what the upside is for Jeremy Pruitt in this situation. If you win, that's great. I don't know if that really changes your situation all that much heading into next year. Now, maybe it makes you more secure in the like immediate part of this conversation with your job security. But, I mean, you're still going to be on the hot seat heading into next year if you're Jeremy Pruitt. To me, like, not playing in the game, maybe you let some of that negativity die down. You get through the spring, and all of a sudden, maybe you pick up some positive momentum in the recruiting trail. And we know Tennessee fans, as bad as it's been, as bad as it was this year, if they're able to somehow get hot again on the recruiting trail like they did in the summertime last year, they'll be excited heading into next year again. It's like, that's the curse of being a Tennessee fan. Every time, you know, June, July, August starts to roll around, you start to think about what could be looking at that schedule and maybe what the win-loss total could look like. There's always that little bit of hope that you still have, Joe. It's a curse.
Yeah, well, but Sure, and of course, I mean, you get if you get around to the season at some point, if Pruitt's coming back in 2021, there's going to be that moment of acceptance. You got like denial, anger, acceptance. At some point, that'll happen for Vols. Yeah. But that's that again. Before you get to that point, that's where it's going to be interesting, and that's why I think the decision makers got to be talking. Like, is this guy going to be able to have a run on the recruiting trail? I mean, last summer was great. They had all this momentum. Right now, with all the doubts about him, not even returning next year, but the doubts that he gets beyond next year, what does that do to recruiting? But yeah, if they're able to land some of their big targets in the summer, then I think that will help too. You get to the beginning, who's going to be the quarterback? You still have some great players coming back for this team. I've mentioned Toto. I mean, Eric Gray, you got still a good offensive line, good secondary. I mean, you've got some good pieces, but what's the confidence level that this guy's going to turn that into wins?
Yeah. And, from Jeremy Pruitt's standpoint, like, what do you sell right now too? I mean, that's the big thing. Like, I think you look at the run they went on in the summer, it was pretty easy to identify what to sell. I mean, they just won 6 games in a row. It was a disastrous season to start with, but they turned it around and everything seemed to be going in the right direction. And now he's entering into a situation where it's basically the exact opposite. So, look, I still think Jeremy Pruitt's a good recruiter. I think a lot of people on the staff are good at recruiting, but it's a lot more difficult of a sell, I think, this time around, obviously, than it was this time last year.
Yeah, way different. And, you're past the – I mean, Jeremy Pruitt talks about how they're a young team, and that's fine. I mean, every team has some young players. But, yeah, you're also past the instant playing time situation too. I mean, you have increased the talent level. You've stacked some good classes. You've got some competition for a lot of spots. So, now, if you're recruiting the type of player you need to go where you want to go, they don't care about that. But it's also those – guys, a lot of times they go where you have a chance to win championships, and right now you can't be honestly a prospect looking at Tennessee football and feeling good about that. So it's going to be much more difficult for him. That's assuming that all this stuff clears up and he's fine, to continue. Which I mean, I'm withholding an expectation on all that because I think things could get interesting here in the next few days and weeks.
Let's visit our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. If you're a Vols fan, did you want to see your team in a bowl game after going 3-7? Yeah, we need more reps? No, just make this pain of 2020 stop for Tennessee. Right now, 89% of the vote says, no, just make it stop. 11% say, yeah, you need more reps. So an overwhelming response so far for Vols fans that they've seen enough of this group.
Yeah. I'm not shocked. It'll be interesting to see as it goes along. But I think right now everybody has that feeling. And then you get to the day of the game, it's like, it'd be fun to watch Tennessee play today. It's going to be a long time until you get to see him play again.
Yes, it is. That could be a good thing or a bad thing. Still not sure how I feel about that at this point. Coming up next, we'll dive back into the Titans and the Packers. Could the Titans possibly have the overall talent edge in this game against Green Bay? We'll discuss on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the big matchup on Sunday between the Titans and the Packers. Sunday Night Football. Two really good teams in this league, two of the top offenses in this league on the line. And, Joe, it's interesting. Like, you look at both rosters, and obviously the Packers 11-3. Right now they're the one seed in the NFC and had 7 Pro Bowlers announced yesterday. But I wonder if the Titans may have the edge from a talent perspective in this matchup. You look at it offensively, and look, the Packers' offense has been great. But a lot's been made of Aaron Rodgers and like how he has Devontae Adams and just a bunch of guys at receiver that he's throwing the ball to. I mean, you've got Devontae Adams, Allen Lazard, which most people in the NFL have never even heard of, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I mean, Darius Shepherd. I mean, there's all these guys that are nice players, but from a talent perspective, outside of Davante Adams, I mean, you look at A.J. Brown, Corey Davis. Obviously, Adam Humphrey's not going to be available in this game, but when he is, I mean, I would give, I think, the overall talent advantage to the Titans offensively just based on all the different options that they have. I mean, Robert Tonyan's been a nice player for Green Bay this year and has 10 touchdowns. I mean, Jonnu Smith, to me, is more physically gifted than Robert Tonyan is in this as well. So it's interesting, like, how the Packers have been able to get to this spot offensively where they're so good and so elite. And obviously Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he's got a lot to do with that. I think Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, you can make an argument, maybe the top duo in the NFL right now, and Matt LaFleur deserves a lot of credit for that. But just from an overall talent standpoint, I think the Titans' offense may just be more talented overall when you think about all the different options they have on offense.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting question because I would give the talent edge at the most important position to the Packers.
Sure.
Although, again, Tannehill is just another example of Tannehill just being brushed aside in this league.
Which, by the way, we're going to talk about that at 8 o'clock and Tannehill not making the Pro Bowl. We have not talked about that a lot so far. We're going to get to that at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, and I would also give them the edge in talent at you know, the star receiver slot, Adams over A.J. Brown. Now, I think A.J. Brown can be, you know, that kind of guy.
Yep.
But right now, Davante Adams is that guy. So, you know, I mean, I think he's just – maybe the best receiver in the league. Certainly, if you want to flip it around, Derrick Henry over Aaron Jones, who's also a Pro Bowler, by the way. Those are all three Pro Bowlers. Is the Packers' offensive line more talented than the Titans, though? And I think, especially with Lawan out, I think the Titans' offensive line's done a good job. But you got two Pro Bowlers on that offensive line, Bakhtiari and Jenkins. I know some people have said Lindsley was a snub. I would say maybe. That's a better offensive line. What would you say?
It is, yeah, especially with no Lawan. I mean, I think it's close when Lawan's in the picture. But Bakhtiari, I mean, you can make an argument he's the best left tackle in the game. And Elgton Jenkins, it's pretty amazing. He's played all five positions on the line this year. I think he's given up one sack in his entire career so far. I mean, he's been very impressive.
And I've seen people listing – I actually, today on the Pro Bowl, of course, this is always a day for like all the Pro Bowl snub articles. I actually saw one. USA Today listed Tonyan and did not list Tannehill, by the way. So they listed like 20-some dudes. Yeah.
Good Lord.
And Tonyan was listed, not Tannehill. But yeah, I mean, but Tonyan's very good. But like you said, I agree. Like Jonnu Smith is more talented than that guy.
Yes.
Corey Davis is more talented, I'd say, than probably any of their other guys supporting Adams. So it's close, I think. You know, I mean, I think both of them are loaded on that side of the ball. Now, the Packers also, by the way, have two defensive Pro Bowlers.
And yes.
There's no hint of that on the Titans side.
No, I mean, look, neither team is really all that strong defensively. I think we know that heading in this game. I will say, at cornerback, Jaire Alexander is probably one of the best cornerbacks that not a lot of Titans fans have probably heard of in this league. So that's going to be an interesting matchup on Sunday, and a Pro Bowler. He's very, very good. So he'll probably be spending a lot of time around A.J. Brown in that game. But I think offensively it is close. Like, I think people hear it, and from a national discussion, like if you would say that, they'd say, well, they have Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. What do you mean the Titans' offense is more talented? I just look at Derrick Henry. I understand it's Aaron Rodgers, and believe me, I've watched a lot of Aaron Rodgers football. I know how good he is. The gap right now between Aaron Rodgers and Ryan Tannehill, it's there. It's not that big. It's really not. I mean, they're both playing at a pretty high level right now. I mean, obviously, I'd still give the edge to Rodgers, but I think most people nationally, they would look at that and say, it's the Packers by a mile. I just don't buy that. Like, I think that's a big part of what the talking point was around the draft with the Packers of, you've got to get Aaron Rodgers some more weapons in there offensively and get him another receiver to throw the ball to. Like, I just try to think about what this Packers offense could look like if they actually had some weapons and drafted a receiver in the first round, which, by the way, they have never done in Aaron Rodgers' tenure, which is pretty incredible to think about.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's like when you talk about we make the argument about talent, and I do think pure talent. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers has a case. It's funny because I would, if you want to just talk about arm talent, I think the top three guys. The Titans just saw Matthew Stafford. I don't know if you've seen the no look. Yeah, the no look end zone view of that TD he threw. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. You know, arm talent, purely that. I think the Titans are about to see the second, probably. I think you make the case two of the top three guys in this league back to back weeks here. We go from Stafford to Rodgers, and Mahomes would be the other. I really think, again, purely arm talent. Now, Stafford, is, as a decision maker sometimes, he throws the questionable pass too often.
Right.
So I don't think he's at the level of a Tannehill, you know, as a quarterback right now. But just pure arm talent, right, is special. But, again, talent as a quarterback is everything. And when you take everything into account with Tannehill, I agree. I think the gap is – a lot closer than most people would think. It is amazing. You know, yeah, we'll get more into it. But like even Derrick Henry and what he's done, I mean, he and Tannehill have fed off each other. And I think a lot of people around this league think it's that Tannehill is just riding coattails. And again, that just, I mean, if you think that, then you don't watch this team. So maybe Sunday night, some people will get a different impression. The playoffs probably didn't help that perception, because for two games it was Derrick Henry completely driving the bus, but that's not the reality of what this team is.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says the talent edge won't matter when Rodgers faces this secondary. It could get ugly, but as long as Tannehill and Derrick put up 45, we'll be in it at the end. Expecting a very high scoring game in this game. 45 keeps you in it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, I get it. I mean, this is so much about – that's the thing. It's so much about this in football games anyway. But you think about this. The number one red zone offense, the Packers. The number two red zone offense, the Titans. The number one goal-to-go offense, the Titans. Number two goal-to-go offense, Packers. They're both just absolutely unstoppable in everything they do when they get deep, you know. Can either of these defenses force field goals? That's where, I mean, that's the Titans hoping every game moving forward. They're going to give up yards between the 20s. Can they force any field goals and get any stops, tip a pass, you know, get any kind of pressure in there quickly and hold some man coverage just long enough? I mean, that's going to be so much about this game. And of course, it's also, you know, you can't give up the big play to Devontae Adams. You can't let it go over your head. Which is easier said than done, because obviously Rodgers will take whatever you give him if you want, and then he'll just march down the field. I mean, I don't like either defense in this game at all.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, the difference between Rodgers and Tannehill is pretty large. Rodgers can still tear you apart with no help of a running game, whereas we haven't seen Tannehill do that without Henry. I get what the texter's saying there. I don't know if I buy that Tannehill – just can't be effective without a running game. I think that's a –
he's had good
– go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, no. I mean, look, again, luckily we actually have a test case here against a very talented, very good defense with no Derrick Henry. And Ryan Tannehill carved up the Saints last year and almost beat them. So it's not true. And he's had other games where Henry did not have good games – and Tannehill still did. That has also happened. So, you know, look, this is going to be the knock on Tannehill. I mean, I guess he has to go somewhere with where they just don't run the ball at all, and he has to throw for 4,500 yards and 50 touchdowns, and then people will believe in him. But it's not he's demonstrated enough if you watch him week after week. To me, I mean, easily. Watch the guy play. But, you know, people want to point to that. As for Rodgers, look, Rodgers, I agree there's a gap. I mean, sure. Rodgers, again, is one of the most talented quarterbacks to ever play the game. No one will ever say that about Ryan Tannehill when he's done, but he's certainly better than a lot of people give him credit for.
When we come back, we've got a little buy or sell edition with the Titans and the Packers, the big game coming up on Sunday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
again, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, I've got a little buy or sell edition for the Titans and the Packers. A huge game coming up on Sunday Night Football. Looking forward to it. Maybe the game of the year for the Titans. And Joe, let's start with this one. We've talked a lot about the MVP conversation, where exactly Derrick Henry fits into it. And this is an interesting game to me from this standpoint. Obviously, number one, because Rodgers is in the MVP conversation. But number two, because it's on Sunday Night Football, and there are going to be a lot of eyeballs on this game, a lot of people watching the Titans play that otherwise probably normally wouldn't. So buy or sell a 150-yard-plus performance on the ground by Derrick Henry and a Titans win brings him on par with Rodgers and Mahomes in the MVP conversation.
Boy, I'm going to say sell. Again, I think that number that we've been talking about, I think you got to get there before you're really in the discussion. Now, I do think that if he dominates in this game and he gets whatever 170 yards and the Titans win because he dominates, he takes a step. Okay, he takes a step. But I think if you're really talking about reaching voters, I think 2000 is a big part of that. I really do, because I think people are so programmed to vote for the quarterback, and I don't blame them. I mean, it's the most important position in football. No one can argue otherwise. So to barge into that group, I think you got to do something that's historic and something that's just, again, we've talked about it. It's very rare for anyone to get to that number. So I think it's a step, but I have to sell the way you said it there. He's not on par still, even if that happens.
I'm going to sell it too, although, I think he's going to get into some legitimate talks at that point. Now, it also depends, I guess, what Rodgers does in this game as well. Like, if the Packers lose, but Rodgers throws for 375 and three touchdowns, then I'm not sure how much ground he's going to lose in the MVP race at that point. I mean, he's got 3,800 yards, 40 touchdowns, and four picks at this point, completing 70% of his passes. So he's having a pretty good year.
It's all right.
I mean, he's going to have to do a lot to really, I think, lose some ground here. But I will say, like, the head-to-head, maybe that matters for some people. Like Henry's style, the way he plays the game, the impact he has for the Titans, if they're able to go out and win this game, maybe that does turn some heads. I just, with the positions being what they are, I just think Henry's going to have to do so much that there may not be anything he can do outside of the 2,000-yard mark. And even then, I'm still not sold that he would win the MVP at that point.
Right. Like, I mean, I think even with all that, 12-4, 2,000 yards, you probably, it would help for like Rodgers to throw a pick six Sunday night too, Mahomes to flub something here in the next couple of weeks. I mean, some of that's probably needed too.
Buy or sell, a win in this game for the Titans would be the most impressive win of the season.
Yeah, buy. Yeah, I'm buying that. Bye. I think what was that?
That was a nice nice sounder from Elijah.
Nice. Is that from like the Wolf of Wall Street or something?
I think it's from Mad Money.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Nice. I like it. Yeah, I'm buying that. I'm trying to think of, to me, what are the most impressive? I mean, I think you probably start with the win at Indy. I think those back-to-back wins.
I don't know.
Baltimore and Indy.
I think the Buffalo game, given the circumstances around it, probably still the most impressive win up to this point.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, in Buffalo, they sort of had, some of this is also timing. Like someone made the point last night, think about like what the Steelers were when they played the Titans and what they are when they play the Colts. And they're still 11-3, right? So this would be a huge win when you look back at this season, like, oh, the Colts won at the 11-3 Steelers. But like at this point, they're a bad team the way they're playing, right? Steelers were playing great when they played the Titans. The Bills had a little – that sort of started a little skid, sort of mid-season there. I mean, they were lucky to beat the Rams. They had a couple bad performances. But you're right. That's still – you're blowing out a team that might be the two. So that was, and it, coming off all those things, I just thought with the Titans having their dip, you know, then they go really turn the whole thing around when they're down 21-10 to Baltimore, win that game, and then go thump the Colts. Those three stand out. They're close, but I think this would definitely be number one. I mean, you're talking about the number one seed in the NFC on the road, a fabled field in football, and you know, really a great team, a great offense. I mean, you have to play, you have to play great offensively, and you probably have to do some things defensively that are maybe a little unexpected too in this game. I mean, you're going to have to get a few stops to win this game. So yeah, I would have to say this will be number one.
Elijah, buy or sell? This would be the most impressive win for the Titans of the season if they're able to get it on Sunday.
Buy.
Definitely buying this, mostly because of, I think the Packers are a better team than the Bills. The fact that you'd be able to do this on the road in prime time against an MVP candidate like Aaron Rodgers, against the number one team in the NFC, to me is big enough, especially moving forward because of the concerns you have on the defensive side of the ball. If you're able to get a couple key stops late in the game, even if you do give up 30-some-odd points, if you win in a shootout, that shows you that you can win with almost anybody, because you're going to have to win some shootouts when you get to the playoffs. You can't win a lot of those games in the 20s. You're going to have to be able to get some key stops, even if you don't have the best defense in the league. You have to at least be opportunistic. And I think that's what the Titans at least were on Sunday. I don't know if I described that performance as good, but it was opportunistic. And if you can prove you can do that against a team like the Packers this late in the season, you have to be convinced you're playing your best ball right now. So, I think if they pull away and are able to escape Green Bay with a win, yeah, to me, this is easily the win of the season.
See, I've really struggled with it because, look, it would be a great win, especially, I mean, the timing of the year, that factors in as well. Going into Lambeau in December, like, people just don't win in Lambeau in December. So I've really struggled with it. I think I'd still sell. I mean, I go back to that Buffalo game. Nobody was giving them a prayer to win that game based on everything that happened with the COVID outbreak and not being able to practice for a couple weeks before that, basically having a few walkthroughs and then being able to play the game. Like, it, just all of those circumstances around it, and to just come out and totally destroy Buffalo the way that they did, I just don't know if the Titans are going to top that this season with how impressed I was by that. But this is close. Like, this is, I think, as close as you can get in terms of what they have on their schedule. It would be a huge, huge win if they're able to do this. I mean, the win in Indy, that's impressive too, that they were able to just totally destroy Indianapolis in that first half. But I just can't get past that Buffalo game based on all the circumstances that are around it. So it's interesting. I mean, look, this one certainly belongs in the conversation.
Ooh, what if the Titans win this game and then the Colts lose to Pittsburgh and this is for the division? Would that change your mind?
Maybe. I don't know, Joe.
Well, now that was an impressive win, no doubt. But I mean, Josh Allen also, you know, arm punted that game to the Titans too, which, by the way, ties to our next topic.
Yes,
but
it does.
certainly impressive. Certainly impressive. They, man, Josh Allen helped a lot that night. I do think that you're right. I mean, the expectation was this team hasn't practiced. How bad is this going to be? And they flipped it completely around. So that is awfully impressive. They still overall played great. I think it's impressive though, when you have so much pressure late in the season, and to me, that's what pushes it over the edge. Like, especially, I mean, you think about, well, Elijah, you said, what if it's for the division? I think, what about if the Colts win? And you know now, no matter what, people can say, oh, I don't look at that stuff. I just have my headphones on. I was focused on the game. The Titans will know what happened in that game. And so if the pressure goes up because of the Colts winning, I think it's even more impressive to win this game.
Buy or sell, either Mike Vrabel or Matt LaFleur will win a Super Bowl in their current stop. So either Vrabel wins one with the Titans or LaFleur wins one with the Packers. What do we got? Joe, we'll start with you.
Either of them? Yeah, I'll buy that.
Okay.
Buy.
You want to say which one? Who do you have more confidence in?
Well, I mean, I like the fact that I think either of them could do it this year. I mean, I think LaFleur has a better chance to do it this year. But either could. And I think, again, in their current stop, I mean, you know, the Titans, interesting offseason ahead for them. But certainly, if you somehow find pass rushers, you could have an awfully good team next year. And, I mean, you know, as long as the Packers continue to avoid adding receivers for Aaron Rodgers. That seems to be a formula for winning and making him happy.
Barely so. Elijah, buy or sell. Either Matt LaFleur or Mike Vrabel in their current stop win a Super Bowl.
I'm going to sell.
Okay.
Just because I think their championship windows are right now with the Packers. Aaron Rodgers isn't getting any younger.
Yep.
With the Titans, I mean, who knows how many good years of Tannehill you have? Who knows how many productive years of Henry you have? Right now, it just seems like the ripe, you know, moment for them to be able to win it. If they're doing it, it's going to be in the next couple of years. It's going to be hard to when you're in the same conference as Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. I think with both teams having shorter windows, it's going to be a lot harder. So I'm just going to say I want to sell. I want to sell that neither of them do it because they're going to have to do it in the next 2 or 3 years. I think the time is right now.
Spoken like a true Saints fan.
Very nice.
As someone who is watching a window close quickly, then yes, I feel like that is. I can definitely see how that'd be problematic if they don't win it in the next 3 or 4 years. It's going to be very, very hard. We'll see how great they are at rebuilding as well as they are coaching.
I'm going to buy, and I'm not going with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I agree with you, Elijah. I think if they're going to do it, it's going to have to be either this year or next year. Because Aaron Rodgers is 37 years old. So, I mean, you don't have a ton of time left with him playing at this level. I think Vrabel and company, obviously you're going to have to get a pass rush. So I don't love their chances this year to get a Super Bowl, even though I think their offense is clearly good enough to win one this year. But I also think that their offense right now with A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, I think it's going to be close to this level for the next 2 or 3 years. I really do. And hopefully LaJuan comes back and he's healthy. So if you could at some point in the next 2 to 3 years find a way to play adequate defense, I think you've got a great shot to win a Super Bowl. So I'm going to buy it. I'm going to say Vrabel gets it done.
Bye.
What do you think about that, Joe? Just threw it out there.
Yeah,
Vrabel's going to win a Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's a crazy idea at all. I mean, it's not off the table this year for all the issues this team has defensively. I do buy Elijah's point that, you know, you're going to be having to get over that Kansas City hump every time, but it doesn't mean that it's impossible for them to do. They tweak a few things, and next year's team, I mean, again, like, there's a lot of things in place outside of the thing that they keep trying to address and failing miserably at addressing. So it's another chance this offseason to address it. If they can do that adequately, I think that they could be really special next year. Now, there's also the Arthur Smith factor.
Yep.
How much of this offense do we credit Arthur Smith for, and how much of a loss would he be? And, you know, could it look the same? I mean, that's definitely something to keep in mind.
Yep, and Ryan Tannehill, he's been a big part of that offense as well, has been great this year, but – yesterday, snubbed once again. Disrespect continues to pour in for Ryan Tannehill. What's he going to have to do to change the narrative nationwide? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.